how great thou art as you come to worship your Lord and recognize his majesty, his greatness of our God. Thank you, Mr. Rajan. We appreciate that. Nehemiah chapter 13. We've seen Nehemiah having gone and gone back to Babylon, now having returned to Jerusalem after a period of time. And he was appalled to see how far the people had strayed in the time that he was gone. Their Bible reading, their giving, they'd quit giving, they had abandoned the tithe. They let the temple workers go to find their own livelihoods. Thus their worship had ceased in any degree of what it should have been. Since their worship had ceased and since their things were gone from the temple, the tithes had ceased, we found Tobiah living in the courts of the temple. Then we saw in our last messages Nehemiah coming and taking charge and throwing Tobiah out and all of his goods. We saw him in our last message restoring the tithe, restoring the temple worshipers, the temple workers that then their worship could be restored as it ought to be. How sad it is when we see in a short time how things can go as they ought not. I recounted to you in the past how sad it was from the first little church that I had down in Vineyard, Arkansas, that it was so soon carried away in false doctrine just after a couple years when we returned for a visit. How sad it was, and yet what a blessing it was just a couple years ago to go down there and find out that after 40-some years that, and I assumed that it hadn't done any good to give the rebuke that I had years ago and found out that they had turned from the error, the false doctrine. And sometimes we don't realize that. I think I expressed to you, and that was the time we came back from Bev's mom's funeral, and we'd gone by and looked up that little church out in Arkansas, and what a blessing it was to see them, that they were following faithfully to the Lord. It's sad to see the Lord's people turn from the things of God. It's a joy to see them respond to God's word and follow the Lord. What a joy that is. Well, today our text takes us to another area of neglect which Nehemiah had to deal with, and that was the Sabbath. This would have been a natural progression in their state of neglect because God had not been first in their hearts. They neglected, as we saw, their giving. They neglected that the integral part of worship itself. Since God was not first, they had other things to do on the day, which was to be set aside for the Lord. But certainly the Lord would understand, right? Oh, surely he understood. He knew quite well because he knew their hearts. He knew that he was not first in their lives. Now that other things have been restored, though, we see here in this passage where we come to see how the Sabbath is still neglected and it needs to be cared for. There's a lot that gets lost by the wayside when a Christian neglects his heart and doesn't keep his heart right before the Lord. Sometimes we don't even realize how far we have gone until it's then pointed out. This seems to be where we are here in Nehemiah chapter 13, and beginning with verse 15. And verses 15 and 16, we see the sad state that the Sabbath had come to be, and the conditions that were there. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and lading asses, and also wine and figs and grapes, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. There we, you know, I was just thinking about Nehemiah returning from Babylon, and you think of the Jews returning from Babylon. You know, in Babylon, the Sabbath would have been just like any other day. How much different that it was, as they would remember, when things were kept right in Jerusalem, the whole city would keep the day. There wouldn't be the noise of the merchants in the streets. There wouldn't be the noise of the builders. There wouldn't be the farmers hauling in their produce for processing or sale. But the temple would be the center of activity. This day was a day specifically set aside for rest and worship. This was a day easily taken for worship because the whole city was at rest. Rest from their normal activities. So, you know, I was thinking of how disappointing it would be to one coming from Babylon there, as Nehemiah is now, having been back there, and coming back and looking forward to, oh, being able to worship as the Lord has given to us, and being able to have that the Sabbath and the day of rest and worship. But what does he find? He finds the laborers at the wine presses working. He finds the wagon loads of the sheaves coming in and being cared for. It was just like any other day. He saw their donkeys weighted down with loads upon their backs, where they were told to rest their animals as well on that day. Farm crops of every sort coming in. Merchants filling the streets. Verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. You can see the merchants coming in from Tyre. Tyre, of course, there on the seashore. I can hear it now. Fresh fish for sale. Fresh fish, you know. New goods brought in from the Mediterranean, and a great day of sale, a great day of shopping. Boy, that struck Nehemiah when he got there and he saw that. I thought about that as preparing. What if that is what you found? Suppose you've been gone from Mora Bible Church for a few years. Maybe you've been to South Africa as a missionary. You come in, you stay at my place on Saturday night. It's been a busy week, and you're looking for a day of worship and rest, being with the Lord's people, rest from the normal activities. I say, well, we'll get up and go to, we got an early service at Mara Bible Church so we can have the rest of the day. There's a big sale at Polaris. Boy, we don't want to miss that. You know, we can do lunch at the mall, and then we can come back and, I got a lot of yard work that's got to get done. It's supposed to rain Monday, and man, I got to get that done so it looks good. Pastor Howard's preaching in the evening, but there's a family reunion at my sister's, and I'm going to go there. I don't need to be at church. You can go if you like, but there's also this neat new restaurant down in Mount Vernon, you know, that, boy, it'd be a nice place to go, and you might enjoy that. There's a lot of new things around you haven't seen. You know, I don't know why we really have an evening service. Nobody seems interested in going there anymore. I guess it's just a sign of the times. How would you feel? How would you feel? You come back and you just found everything all. Preacher doesn't care much about, well, he's got things to do too, right? You know? You know, what did Nehemiah do when he saw what he saw there? You see in the end of verse 15, he says, I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. I testified against them. When we come to verses 17 and 18, we see the needed rebuke that he brings to them. He says, then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and I said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. There's a needed rebuke that Nehemiah brings to them. He tells them, you know, we saw that he testified against them. In verse 17, telling us how he testified against them. It says he contended with the nobles of Judah. He says, what evil thing is this that you do? What is this sin? What is this that you're doing? Is not this against the Lord's command that the Lord commanded to us? They were given back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 and 10 and 11. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherein the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord had given them a day. He'd given them a day that was not to be for their regular work. He gave them a day where there was to be a time where they would have rest from their labors. Nehemiah also gives them a history lesson. He gives them a history lesson in the first of there in verse 18. Did not your fathers thus? He's saying, isn't this something that our fathers before us did? And didn't our God bring all this evil upon us unto this and upon this city? And you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning it? Remember, one of the things that were given to the Jews where they were to take 1 year in seven and let their land rest. And one of the things that we find is part of why they were 70 years in Babylon was where the Lord was giving rest for those 70 different times that they didn't take that one in seven for their land that they were supposed to do. He gave them a warning there in verse 18. We're in this situation where we are right now. We were out of the land for 70 years. And now he says, now you're not keeping one day in seven as the Lord gave you. You want more of the wrath of God upon you? He said, you've profaned this day. You violated it. You've polluted it. You've desecrated it. The pure and the holy has been polluted. You wouldn't say that Nehemiah was being really very kind to them, was he? Was he being a little nasty with them? No, he cared for them. He cared for them. He loved his people. He loved the things of God. And he could see how quickly they had moved, And here, among the other things, we see the necessity of the restoration of the Sabbath. We see him the next verses, we see what they do to seek to restore that. So we beginning in verse 19, we see the actions there that are there to restore it. It said, it came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. It's nice when you got somebody that's in charge, that's got good convictions, and he was the one in charge there, and he was able to do that. He said, "Hey, we're closing the gates. We're closing the gates, and we're gonna keep them closed, and they're not going to be opened back up, so there's not going to be people coming in and out until after the Sabbath." So the first thing he did is he did what he was able to do. He set it up, closed the gates, and then he set up a watch in verse 19. I commanded the gates should be shut, and I charged, and then he says, and I set at the gates some of my servants that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. And so he made sure that there weren't those that were coming in with their loads of goods and all that was there. So he took care of the city, and then it says in verse 20, he said, so the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. So they said, well, we'll just set up out here. They set up outside. They had their tents and their booths with all of their wares and all of the things to sell. They must have had bullhorns instead of a speaker system like we do, but I'm sure they were calling out, you know, fresh fish out here, you know, or whatever they had. We see that Nehemiah took care of them as well. He said, I testified against them, verse 21. I said, why lodge ye about the wall? And if you do so again, I'll lay hands on you. Remember that Nehemiah wasn't saying, I'm going to come out and slug you and beat you up. Nehemiah is there with the authority of the police. You know, I mean, he's the one that's in charge. And he said, I'll have you arrested. You know, you'll be dealt with if you don't abide by it. And so it says, from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Then we see them. Of course, this is, so you see what has happened. He has taken those of his own servants and those that he had, and he put things in force immediately to care for the situation. And then he comes up with some long-term solution in verse 22, as we see him dealing with this to restore it. There in verse 22, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. There's that, he's got a long-term solution. He has those that are charged with the worship, charged with the temple worship that they're of the Levites, he's saying this is something that is part of the that needs to be done for the maintenance, that needs to be done for the to seeing that this doesn't happen. You men need to take the place that the Lord has given you to protect the worship, and so he tells them that they need to come, and that they need to set up, and they need to keep the gates and sanctify the Sabbath, that they might keep it holy unto the Lord. They might see that this is a time that is set apart unto holiness. Of course, we see there Nehemiah again, as we saw him at the end. We saw last time in verse 14 where Nehemiah committed this to the Lord. And here in verse 22, we see Nehemiah committing this to the Lord. He says, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Spare me according to the greatness of thy great mercy." I think Nehemiah recognized this was, the Lord had put him in charge. He was responsible here. And he's doing what is right, what he feels is right before the Lord. He's taking that responsibility that God has given to him. And he's just here again. We see him committing that unto the Lord. Understanding the mercy of the Lord, it's a great thing that our Lord has mercy upon us when we go against him, isn't it? That we can confess it, we can turn from it, we can come to the Lord. And John sung this morning about our great God. One of the things that makes us sing about the greatness of our God is to have a God of mercy. A God that we can turn to, confess the error of our way, confess our sin to him, and have that forgiveness. And that, you know, Nehemiah is coming before the Lord, and he says, according to the greatness of your mercy, he commits this thing to the Lord. There we see Nehemiah restoring the Sabbath, caring for it, seeing the great wickedness and evil that is there. Recognizing that all those things that the Lord gives to us, and we're not just to pick and choose how we're going to serve the Lord. We're to follow the ways of the Lord. We're to follow him and all that he gives to us. We learned in the New Testament when the Lord gave to his disciples and really to us as a church when he left, that great commission that we have in the end of the book of Matthew, when he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We're to teach all those things that the Lord has given. We're not just to pick and choose what we want or what we think is, well, this is for our day, I think this is what we'll do. I'd like to take, and with that thought, just take this passage of Scripture that we've looked at, and what is the application of that to the church today? What is the application of that? We recognize that we're back here in Nehemiah. We're back here in the Old Testament scriptures. We're back here where we know that the law has been fulfilled in Christ, and we are not under those Old Testament laws. But there's an application to the church today. There's an application of this to us. No, we're not under the Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws. Those are things that were there, that were given to the Jewish people, given to them, and we learn much from them. We learn much from them. We learn how God cares for various areas of life. We see in those ceremonial things, in their worship, we see things there that were really there to point, that were just a shadow of that which was to come in Christ and to point to Christ. But as we see this, I think of, and I've quoted this before, but in 1 Corinthians 10 it says, "All these things happened unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." We're to take these scriptures and learn from them. We're to take the principles that we learned from the Old Testament and apply it here in the New Testament. You know, one of the things that we learn from the scriptures, and that is that back at creation before the law, back in that time and when God first created man, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I go back there because here we have something that God gave at the very creation of man. God gave, and this I see it as a creation principle. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. It was part of God's original design for his creation, of which we are a part, that there would be a day that is set aside unto him, a day of rest, a day unto our God. It was a part of God's original design. You know, we go back, ones go back to that when it comes to marriage, the very institution of marriage that's being destroyed in our day today. That's something that God gave from creation. That was a creation principle. That's something that God determined: a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they be one. We see also this creation principle this one day in seven. This was not just something that came up as a part of this of the civil laws that God gave to Israel. And there were particular things that were given to them as far as the keeping of that. But the principle God gave, I believe, for all of creation. Also, we see as we go to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, we go to those Ten Commandments and we see there how in that, when God gave the command there, when God gave the command for the keeping of the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. When we read that there in Exodus chapter 20, he refers back to creation. And so again, even when the Lord gives to Moses, here the Ten Commandments, which would refer to here as the moral law of God, things of God that are for us, that shows us the character of God. In Exodus chapter 20, he says this: remember the Sabbath, verse 8, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, the strangers within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath. Each of the commands of Exodus 20 are a part of God's moral, unchanging law. We recognize the importance that he put upon it, even when the Lord Jesus talked of, in fact, the summing up of the Ten Commandments, he summed those up by, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When the Lord summed up those Ten Commandments and those two statements, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and mind, I believe if we truly desire to show our love for the Lord and for our neighbor, we will incorporate each of these things of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments. They're very important for us today. What about the New Testament observance? What about the New Testament observance? Well, Jesus made an interesting statement in Luke chapter 6 and verse 5. He said, "The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." We know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day. And from then on, we see, first of all, he met with his disciples after the resurrection on the first day of the week when they met and they came together. The apostles, yes, they went and they preached to the Jews who had gathered together in the synagogues on the Sabbath. On the seventh day. But we see when we come to the New Testament, we see that the apostles on the first day of the week, they came together. They came together there for the breaking of bread and the preaching of the word. After the day of Pentecost, when the church was gathered together on that first day of the week, it was there for breaking of bread, for the preaching, the receiving of offerings, we see that. As they gathered, they brought their gifts together on the first day of the week. When we come to the New Testament church, we see this first day of the week being set aside as the day for believers. Oh, if you listen to the Seventh-day Adventist and if you read some of their signs that they put up, you would think that it were not so. And yet, you know, they say that it started back in the dark ages is when that first started to take place. But that's not so. It's interesting in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, where the apostle John said, and he's recording, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." He speaks of the Lord's Day, there in which, we see there John speaking of that. It becomes obvious that God didn't negate the observance under a new covenant. We believe that he just changed the day for the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Why did the Lord give it? God gave this day because he knew that we needed it for rest and worship. He created us, didn't he? He knows our frame. He knows us so much better than we do. Men think they can go on, they don't need that. But he gave us an example at creation when he ceased from his creative work to give us an example. He could set that aside, that day should be set aside. In Mark chapter 2, it says that God, he made the Sabbath for man. Now people take that in, they say, well, he made it for man, that means I must be, I ought to just go do what I want to do because he made it for me, right? When we go to Isaiah chapter 58, he says it wasn't for man's pleasure. Isaiah said it was to be that was a delight unto the Lord. Not for man's pleasure, but a delight unto the Lord. Man was deceased from his work so that he might center his thoughts upon the Lord, that he might delight in him. From man's perspective, it's the Lord's day. Yes, the Lord has given it to us because we need that. I think it'd be good to go to the book of Isaiah for a moment and just read what Isaiah had to say there as he's talking about that purpose in which the Lord gave this day. Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 13, 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, there when the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, he's letting him know of, why do you have that day? Why should there be that one day that is set aside? Well, he explains it there. It's not for your pleasure, but it's to be a holy, a day set aside, a delight, holy of the Lord. You honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, how much have we lost? How much have we lost in our day? People today laugh at and mock at the blue laws that we had in our country. Make it so it's a. It's a big sale day. We're being pulled aside in every which way. We've left. It's hard to have a day unto the Lord, isn't it? It's hard to have a day unto the Lord unless we really make that determination. Many times it costs. It costs to be able to do that. Some of you have paid the cost of what it's taken in order to keep a day set aside to the Lord. So you can really have a day of delight unto the Lord. So you can take that time and recognize, you know, I need to be with God's people. I need to be in church. I need God's word to filter through so I can filter out all those things that I'm getting all week long from all these ways. That's why I just kind of felt with Nehemiah. He comes back out of Babylon and when the day would not have been observed to come and say, oh, it's going to be so good to be with the Lord's people. It's going to be so good to be able to have this day, and then to find that it is being so profaned. You know, although this passage in Nehemiah was for the Jew, does it not give insight into God's design for man to honor him? Not for personal pleasure, but the Lord's day. These days of our lives have been entrusted to us. How will we use them? Will we turn from making this special day my day and make it the Lord's day? I put this article that I wrote some time ago in the bulletin today. Kind of goes through some of the thoughts and some additional ones that. But the Lord's day or my day? We have a great heritage in our country. We have a great heritage where the Lord's day was really set aside even to those who weren't believers. You would talk to folks and they would say, well, no, we don't, this, you know, we're not going to do things on Sunday, because it was they recognized it was a day that was set apart. Today I'm afraid that we've lost a great part of our heritage. And it becomes harder and harder to keep a day under the Lord in the midst of the society that we were in. But these days that have been entrusted to us, oh, let us listen to the revealed word of God and see God has given us a principle. He's given us a principle of having that day set aside for rest and for worship. Yes, it was needs to be the Lord's day. May the Lord give us wisdom as believers. As we seek to please Him and seek to apply the truths to our lives, and may we give to our children the heritage. Give to our children the heritage of this is a day set aside unto the Lord our God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for your people as we come to the New Testament church. And Lord, we see them gathering together, taking a day when your people could come together on the first day of the week and honor their Lord and their God. Lord, we know from your word that in that day even there were those that began to forsake the assembling of themselves together. But, oh Lord, may we be a people that see the importance of honoring you and delighting together with your people and joining together to be under your word and fellowshipping in the things of our God. And Lord, may we help us, Lord, to be able to keep this day as a day where our thoughts will be upon thee. Lord, when we won't be distracted from all of the distractions of life around us, just from the common labors of Lord, that we do for the sustenance for our daily lives. Oh, Lord, help us to see how we can best honor thee on this day. Help us, help the fathers in our homes, Lord, to take the position that they need and to teach their families and take that responsibility. Lord, thank you for your word. Now help us, Lord, to see how we can best follow it. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, take